got your Bibles, while I'm trying to figure this thing out, you can be turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. During our revival, and in the couple of weeks before it, there's been kind of a trend, a couple of trends in the messages that the Spirits give us. And one of the trends has been sowing seeds. And it's came up several times each night of our revival, and then even the morning of the homecoming, the preachers, without hearing what the one before them said, had at least part of their message about sowing seeds. And then the couple of weeks prior, I didn't get a chance to hear what Dad or Don preached on, but both of my messages were about sowing seeds. And tonight we kind of continue with that. So let's look at verse 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for each and every one that's here tonight. We ask that you open our hearts and minds, Lord, and let us have understanding, Lord, that we might apply this word to our lives, Lord, and better serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. So, in verse 4 it says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap." You know, in planting a large field of wheat, if there's a strong wind, it's kind of hard to plant, isn't it? Yeah, it'll blow away. And then you'd lose part of your crop, wouldn't you? It'd be blown away, maybe into the creek or whatever. But if you wait until the day is just perfect and go out and plant it, you can get it in rows. You may look pretty. But what's the Bible say? It says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow." There's a certain number of days in the spring that you can plant certain crops. And if the weather's not right, you know, you might hold out. Say it's a 2-week window that you have to plant. You might hold out the first week if the weather's not right. But if the second week the weather's still not right, what are you going to do? If you just sit around waiting for the good weather to plant in, you might not make a harvest, will you? Because if you wait too long to plant, then your plants ain't going to have time to come up and to produce before the frost kills them out. So you have to, even if the weather's not perfect, sometimes you got to plant, don't you? You can't just sit around waiting for the perfect time to plant. You got to go when you have opportunity to plant. There was a writer. He was a real important writer in the field that he wrote in, real important field. He was a bass fishing writer. He wrote books about bass fishing and wrote magazine articles about bass fishing. And people would ask him. His name was Homer Circle, but he went by the pen name of Uncle Homer. People would say, "Uncle Homer, when's the best time to go bass fishing?" His answer was, "When you can. When you can." Ain't that the truth? The best time to go bass fishing is when you can. Don't wait around for the moon to be in the right phase to go. If you've got time to go, go. And that's kind of what this is saying. Don't wait for the weather to be right to sow your seed. If you've got time, if you've got seed, and it's the proper time of the year, plant your seed. If you've got a sinner in front of you, don't wait for the proper time to bring up the Lord. Because if the sinner's in front of you, that is the proper time. Amen. Yeah. Bring up the Lord. Sow the seed. Speak to them. Invite them to church. Don't look for an opportunity. Make an opportunity, in other words. And then, along the same lines, it says, "And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." It's been a wet year this year. It's been wet. Now, if anybody in here that's got a garden had waited around until it wasn't raining to go out and harvest, their garden would have rotted before they would have got it. I know I went out and picked maters in the rain, and some of them still got so full of water they busted. You can't just wait around. When it's time to act, you got to act. When it's time to bring up the Lord, you got to bring up the Lord. That's why Paul told Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. When the opportunity is there, when the lost person is there, you had better be ready to talk to them. You had better know enough scripture that you can lead them to the Lord if you need to. You had better have enough faith in God that you can bring Him up in conversation without having to wait for the perfect weather and the perfect time of year in a perfect place. If the sinner's there and you're there, God's already made the perfect weather and a perfect time of year in a perfect place. It might not seem perfect to us, but what's he going to say in verse 5? He says, "As thou knowest not what the way is, what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." It might not seem like a good idea to go out in the rain and plant taters. But God knows what He's doing. He knows that we need them taters to be able to eat taters. So if He gives us rain every day during tater planting time, there's got to be a reason for it. We just have to go out and plant our taters in the rain. God knows what He's doing. He cares about our gardens. He does. Every year I pray, "Lord, please bless my garden." I'm sure everybody in here that has a garden prays, "Lord, please bless my garden." Some people go as far as to pray every time they plant a seed, "Please bless this seed." The Lord cares about our gardens because He cares about us. Amen. If He gives us rain, it's because He knows we need rain. If He gives us drought, it's because He knows that we need drought. Well, drought's not always a bad thing. It kills out a lot of pests. and things that we don't need that it would otherwise ravish our gardens. He blessed us enough to live here high in the mountains where we got creeks that don't even go dry in a drought. And we get water out of them for free so we can water all year long. He's blessed us because he loves us. If he cares that much about a tater, how much more does he care about a lost person? If he cares that much about a tater to make sure it has the right amount of rain and the right conditions to grow to feed us, how much more does he care about a lost person? The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He don't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. You know, it's a real popular thing with TV and radio preachers right now. It seems like every one of them. John MacArthur's one preaching it now. R.C. Sproul is one. He's preached it for a long time. Predestination. Predestination. What that is they believe that when Jesus came and died, he only came and died for a certain people. And only certain people are going to get saved. And he knew from the beginning that these people were going to get saved and these people weren't going to get saved. And they make it sound real convincing. They twist the scriptures around to make it sound like that's what it says. But you never hear one of them talk about that verse right there. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He didn't create people bound for hell. He created people in his image. And man chose hell. Because man loved the darkness better than the light. But there's all these preachers that are preaching that predestination. It's a bunch of hooey. God sent Jesus into the world for whosoever believeth on him. Whosoever. Not just certain people that were picked out before the earth was created, but for whosoever. Anybody. Anybody. But we can't even understand how bones grow in the womb. This was written, I don't know, at least more than 2,000 years ago, probably three, I don't know exactly where in the timeline this was written. Solomon wrote it. But then they didn't know how bones were formed in the womb. And here we have machines that can look through the body and different layers of the body, and we can grow ears on the back of mice, and we don't know how bones form in the womb. We don't know how a tree grows from a seed. You know, the little seed, those little sunflower seeds, little bitty things, barely even something you can bite on. You plant that little bitty thing, and it'll grow a sunflower that's, some of them's 15, 18 foot tall, big things. Flower. And that whole plant is inside that little seed. Just add water. Explain that. We can't. We don't know how it forms. Much less how a baby forms in the womb, which here it don't say fetus, does it? It says child. Because that baby is a baby. As soon as it's conceived, that baby is a person with a soul. As soon as it's conceived, we don't know how it's formed. We can't understand it. It's beyond our understanding. But it does, don't it? It does it every time. Just the way it's supposed to. Some are different than others, but that's the way they're supposed to be. Because God don't make mistakes. If he made it that way, that's the way he wanted it to be. I've got a my lower jaw is bigger than it's supposed to be. It's longer. I've got an underbite. My teeth won't go all the way together. That's as close as I can go. I can stick my tongue out. I can close my teeth as far as I can close them and stick my tongue out. When I was a kid, I went to orthodontist, and they told Mom, they said, we can fix that. We can break his jaw and take out parts and line his teeth up. Mom asked me, she said, son, I'll let you have the choice. I can remember it like it was yesterday. She said, I'll let you have the choice. Do you want to have this done, or do you not want to have this done? And I told her, I said, well, God made me this way. I'll stay this way. God don't make mistakes. He makes things exactly the way He wants them to be every time. So who are we to question when He tells us to invite somebody to the church? Just a simple thing as that. And don't tell me He don't do it. He does it all the time. And more often than not, we ignore it. Who are we to question Him when He says to invite somebody to church? Yep. We're nobody, are we? A thousand years to us is like a day to God. And a day to God is like a thousand years to us. That doesn't mean that for every thousand years here, a day passes in heaven, because there's no time in heaven. God lives outside of time. That's just an illustration of how much more God is than we are. It can't be put into words how much more He is than us. But that statement is just a tip of the iceberg of in a way that we can understand it. How much more He is than we are. Who are we to question Him when He says, invite them to church? Give them a card. How many has given out church cards already? I've been giving them out left and right. When we ate at the Mexican restaurant, I left one with a tip. Give them out. That's a testimony. We got those for that very reason. To give them away. Give them away. Don't worry about giving them all away. We give them all away. That's great. We'll get some more. Who are we to question Him? He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He says, do it. We should do it. And apparently we have been doing a good job of it. Or else it wouldn't have came up so often in preaching in the last few weeks. We've been doing a good job of it. We just got done last Sunday with our homecoming. We're already planning the next event. October the 26th, we're going to have a fall festival for kids. And I don't know about y'all, but I had fun. It was as much fun as the kids. We're already planning the next seed planting event. But we need to be planting seeds between now and then. But that's just one thing we do as a church as a whole. So we're doing a good job. But we can't let up. What's the next verse say? It says, in the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. You don't know if you got good seed or not. It's like buying seed from Bullocks. You don't know if it's going to be good or not. You don't know how long he's had it. So even though we're doing a good job of sowing seed, is in the evening, don't hold back your hand. In other words, sow seed again. Go back and re-sow it. There's a lot of people that do that. They'll sow seed and then they'll cover that up and then they'll sow more seed on top of it. Around here, I guess it comes from our history of being poor. We sow seed and then we wait for it to come up about that far and then we sow in between. But that's the same thing, the same idea. Just keep sowing until you get enough to where you're going to get a good crop. Keep sowing until you're going to get a good crop. You don't know what kind of ground the seed's falling on. You don't know if it's a good seed or a bad seed. If it's the Word of God, it's a good seed, but it may have fell on a rocky place, mightn't it? Like Jesus talked about, some fell by the wayside, some fell on stony ground. Some sprang up and was immediately burned away. The seed's the same, but the ground changes. The ground changes. Somebody that we've witnessed to all our lives and they haven't heard us might hear us today. They might hear us today. The seed might be right, or the ground might be right to accept the seed. You can go out here in this parking lot underneath all the gravels and stuff. There's good dirt, ain't they? But you could go out there and throw seed on that gravel and it ain't going to get nowhere, is it? But if you go out there and you rake a little bit of gravels, rake a little bit of gravels, rake a little bit of gravels, eventually you're going to get down to that good dirt. Then you can put that seed on there and it'll do good, won't it? So we might have been raking gravels off of our lost loved ones all this time, getting down to the good dirt. So even though it's evening, we need to sow a seed again. This might be the one that comes up. Might be the one that comes up. I know I've talked about it a lot of times, but it was a very memorable moment. Wavon was unequally yoked for years with Tommy Bledsoe. She went to church, dedicated. Every time the doors was open, she was there. He never would come with her. He would bring her and drop her off. He would never go in. She prayed for him. The whole church prayed for him. One day he came inside. All the gravels had been raked away. He came inside and a seed was laid on that bare dirt. And he's still, that was probably 15 years ago, he's still going to church strong. Because that seed was planted. Because she didn't give up when the seed landed on the rock. She just started digging away at the rock. She started digging away at the rock. And finally got down to good dirt. Everywhere you look up in here. Used to be trees, didn't it? You can't just come into a place and cut down the trees and plant a garden. You got to pull the stumps out. Get down to the good dirt. And then, even after that, after every year, you got to pull rocks out of it. Cloverleaf grows rocks. If you quit working at it, it'll go back to trees. There's great big old stands of poplar. About 2/3 of the way up this mountain, all the way up the Benham Spur, and halfway up that side, big stands of poplar. Dad's not a very old man, but he can remember them being cornfields. He can remember it being cornfields. If you go up there, you'll find a pile of rocks half the size of this stage and a poplar tree growing out of it. All over the place. Scared me to death first time I seen it. I thought it was an Indian burial ground or something. But that's where they used to throw the rocks in a pile when they was plowing out the cornfields. And the wind has caught them poplar trees there in them, or poplar seeds in that pile of rocks, and the trees growed out of it. If you quit working at it, it'll go back to trees, won't it? But if you keep working it, you can make good ground out of it. Don's got some good ground over here. It's been worked for generations. It's good ground. It continues to be good ground because it continues to be worked. There's a place up at the head of the holler here. You could see some Easter lilies there in the spring. That's the only sign that there was ever a house there. It's just a big poplar thicket because it's not been worked in years. It was give up on. Nobody's planting any seeds in it anymore. We can't give up, can we? We can't give up. We've put in too much hard work. If the people who originally cleared that land seen what it had turned into, it would probably cut them to the core, wouldn't it? As much work as they put into it. Pulling the stumps out. I'd hate to have to pull stumps out with a mule. That'd be awful. If they could see all the work they put into it, it'd cut them to the core. Just think of how much work we've put into our lost loved ones. How many prayers we put into them. How many seeds we've planted. How many gravels we've raked away. How many stumps we've pulled. We're getting down close to good dirt. So even though it's evening, we need to sow our seeds again. Even though it's evening, we need to sow our seeds again. Don't be looking at the cloudy skies. Because he who looks at the clouds receives no harvest. You can't watch the weather in the spring. You cannot turn the TV on to the weather station in the spring. If you've got a day that you don't have to work, or you don't have anything else you have to do, and you've got some seeds, and it's springtime, you just wake up at morning determined to plant, and you go and plant and don't worry about the weather. That's what you got to do. This is Kentucky. The weatherman don't mean a hill of beans. It'll change in 5 minutes. Nobody watching the Weather Channel can produce a good garden. Nobody watching the storms of life and being blowed hitherto and there can be an effective witness to the Lord. We have to get up every morning determined to plant seeds for the Lord, come rain or shine. Amen. We plant them in the morning, we plant them in the evening. Because we are nothing compared to Him. We can't question when He says, invite them to church, when He says, pray for them, when He says, tell them you're praying for them, when He says, tell them not to use the Lord's name in vain. When he says, tell them if they're going to use that language, not to be around you. When He says these things, we should do what He says. Who are we? We don't know how He forms bones in the womb. But He does it, don't He?
Amen.
He does it. In Genesis, when God created the plants, He told the plants to produce seed after its own kind. And He told the cattle of the field to produce cattle after their own kind. And He told the things that creeped upon the earth to produce creeping things. And all these things, as He named them off, as He was creating them, He says, produce after your own kind. When He created man, He said, be fruitful and multiply. be fruitful and multiply. Who did he say that to? Who did he say that to? Think about it. He didn't say it to a fallen man of the world, did he? He said it to Adam before the fall. Be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because he wants believers. Be fruitful, believers, and multiply more believers. That's our task. That's our challenge. That's our charge. We're to multiply the kingdom of heaven. Sow the seeds. Come rain or shine, sow the seeds. Morning, noon, and night, sow the seeds. Don't give up. Don't give up.